did we get this far into the show without talking about the biggest news in sports yesterday?
I don't know.
A five-run, five-hit explosion in the sixth inning, followed by a four-run seventh inning, writes John Mason in your Wisconsin State Journal. The Sun Prairie East Cardinals are playing for a championship at the WIAA State Baseball Tournament.
Yeah, we're heading there tonight. We'll be up in Appleton to watch that bad boy try
to see
Sun Prairie East win a championship.
Well, what time's first pitch?
Maybe Sid and I will come down and watch. 6 o'clock, I believe, is the tip. Know whether or not rain and everything else got that, but yeah, it should be against the deepier, whatever they call themselves.
The Redbirds. Redbirds.
Cardinals versus Redbirds.
That's a great ballpark up there in Appleton.
A Red Bird is going to win a championship tonight.
Are you going with Big O? I mean, obviously, Big O will be there. He doesn't have a graduation to go to.
Jenny O will probably be up there, too. I'm guessing
Jenny O?
I'm guessing there will
be... Like hot dogs?
No, it's turkey. I don't think Jenny O's hot dogs.
Oh, turkeys. Turkey hot dogs. Yeah, no, Jenny O.
It's not hot dogs. You don't think of Jenny O and you think hot dogs.
Like
nobody
turkey
would say
hot dogs.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Nobody is going to say anything. You say Jenny O, you think turkey. You don't think turkey dogs. Nobody.
Okay. I'm going to look at their product line. I'm pretty sure
You go ahead and study their product line. They may have a turkey dog, but nobody's thinking turkey dog. They're thinking turkey. When you say it. But yes, I'm sure there'll be a nice crowd.
Turkey Franks.
Be a lot of folks heading that way tonight.
Turkey Franks. You can pick them up today at Walmart for $2.22. Well, congratulations to the Cardinals and the Redbirds. I don't think Domofsky will be there. His boys don't play baseball anymore, but you will be there for the Cardinals.
I'm guessing he's still going to be a supportive fan of the program. It's not like he's just in it for the kids, for his own kid. He's probably looking at a big picture, too.
I don't know. I know he's got a similar vacation trip planned as you do, so he might be reaching out to get your insights from your previous trip that you took.
I'll send him to Sarah, who did a fantastic job.
Did all the work. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
All right. I only brought that up because what I really wanted to do was get us somewhere in the general vicinity of being back on the clock. So okay. I do want to get to the mini camp as much as I could talk about Zane Anderson some more. I had a few questions for Matt LaFleur that I'd like to get to because I thought that they were important. Again, I don't want to make these, whether it's talking about Aaron Rodgers or talking about the Packers and these 2 days, I don't want to make this sound like it's the end-all, be-all, because it's not. We talked about it. It's just an extension of the OTAs for these guys. He excused a number of players from the last day or 2 days of the entire offseason program. But there is a vibe around this team, man, and I'm telling you, it is a very, very, very positive one.
Uh-huh.
But Matt LaFleur is not making any grand pronouncements. We'll talk about that coming up. I want to remind you that you can experience the luxury of a Stearns & Foster mattress right now at Steinhoffel's. Featuring layers of premium material beneath a timeless hand-stitched cover, Stearns & Foster mattresses provide the entire family with a luxurious, which is a great word, sleep experience. Plus, you'll get $300 in Steinhoffel's cash when you buy one. So feel the collection's handcrafted comfort and support at Steinhoffel's today, or just shop online at steinhoffels.com. We'll talk about what Matt LaFleur said and what he didn't say next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Let's get to the Packers minicamp, which wrapped up yesterday. Tausch, I do agree with you. Again, I tend to be... There are There aren't a lot of things that I'm critical of them when it comes to the organization.
Ticket
but,
prices, sliding
shareholders, shareholders getting return for their investments.
So there's probably a few more things than you maybe.
No, it all ties into the same thing, though, and it goes back to the hypocrisy thing.
Mm.
You embrace the we're owned by the fans. We don't have a deep-pocketed billionaire owner. And yet your behavior towards said fans doesn't necessarily jibe with that narrative that you love.
Is it jibe?
Jibe, I believe.
I don't know if I've ever used the term jibe.
Mm. Well, be that as it may, there was a June. For many years,
June.
OTA practices... Nice. OTA practices that were open to the media were open to fans.
Yep.
The mini camp was open.
Yep.
Training camp, the numbers have dwindled on the number of practices that are open more and more each year. There's fewer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I
How
think
many
if
were
you're
open
fan,
to the fans this offseason? Because the media
zero.
Was able.
Zero.
Just wait, the fans couldn't watch. What they have the tarped up. It's tarped up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't get that. Why? What are you hiding? This isn't, you're not prepping for the Bears or the Eagles. Like, what is the thought process of not having fans? You build the stadium, you build all those bleachers. You want fans to come and buy pro shop stuff. What's the rationale for it?
I don't know. Football does not want there. Like, I'll say this, Matt LaFleur had a video board, which some other teams have done.
Yeah, I think that.
So he had it at these practices,
yep.
The two practices for the minicamp. He is not going to have it at training camp.
Okay.
And when he was asked why, he said, because I don't know who's going to be sitting in the stands.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want video of the practice
that's going.
What do they
think, they have like thermo-global nuclear war secrets that they're hiding? Like, you're running jet sweeps. You're running Kyle Shanahan in your own. So... Last year, I was highly critical of this, too. Because let me tell you something. Every walk-through, jog-through, we had fans at it. And I'm going to tell you something. It was good, like good juice.
Right.
It was fun.
Energy. Yeah.
Now, I think the social media clipping up clips and doing all that, I can understand a little bit of it. Especially last year. You had a bunch of new guys, and
right.
You didn't need
First
to put all
starter.
That added. But now, just like I couldn't understand why they didn't want to announce when they signed Goody and LaFleur to big extensions, fans want to hear it. It's good news.
Yep.
Like, it's not you're hiding something that's happening. So I didn't understand that. I still don't.
Mm-hmm.
But this, you're literally doing drills. And you want your team to be engaged with its fans. And you want its fans to be engaged with the team. So is it going to hurt you to have 2,500 Packer fans down there railbirding it up?
No, I don't think it
I'd
does.
Love an explanation of why they've stopped doing that. They love making money. Kudos to them. But you're going to have more people getting Rashawn Gary and Jordan Love jerseys, and maybe they'll get these guys to sign it. Maybe they won't.
Right.
It's a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing? If it goes inside, great. We understand it rains. I think everybody gets that. But the reason I even brought this up, and I sent you the fireman, Kurt, who is a monster Packers fan.
He lives in, like, California.
Comes into town, and he doesn't get any access to see it. And listen, they can do whatever they want. I just would love
they
to
can,
understand
they
why
do.
They're doing it this way. Fans eat this up, man. They love it. It's so menial. Like, if you want, throw it up on Packers.com, too. Let fans see it. This isn't, you're not in secret season. There isn't any espionage going on.
Subterfuge.
So what are we doing?
Yeah,
can anyone
know.
Explain why
no,
they don't?
Because they are, by nature, clandestine and secretive and probably.
But you open it up during training camp. Not as much.
I'll say this, and I don't want to say this with 100% certainty. But I would say this with a significant amount of confidence, that if the team president, whether it's Mark Murphy or if Ed Policy gets the job next or whoever, if they said, hey, Goody, Matt, How many practices do you want to allow to have open to the fans?
Well, they'd say zero.
They'd say zero.
Yeah. They also said they wouldn't do the kickoff, and they did. But what, I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. And again, it is my issue is the hypocrisy aspect of this. Because those are
How many other teams? Well, like what are other teams doing? Is everybody going to limited, or is it let people in and watch? Because you expect and you want and you're excited when you get 70,000 fans to come watch practice at Lambeau on family night.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You want people to be in town and buying stuff and supporting the businesses and the hotels that you own next door and Titletown. Uh-huh. And you're going to have them come in and they're not going to go to actually watch practice in shorts?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I did not realize they had such a limited access. I guess that's on me for not knowing that. And apparently
Kurt.
There is no reason to not have more access. There's not. And you don't have if
football
there's a day,
doesn't want it.
If there's a day you want, and by the way, if you really have clandestine things at Philadelphia and you got some new things, go into Hudson Center and go to work. They do that anyways.
That's what they do at the start of practices and camp. They we're all out there and they're inside.
I don't get the fact that I just think like our fans would say, man, God, Romeo Doubs looks great. Oh my gosh, these guys. Why are you not doing that? I don't have any good answers for you.
I don't either. That's because there isn't a good answer. There isn't.
What would Matt LaFleur say if you asked him just point blank? Why are you guys? What's the deal? What's he answering?
I don't know. I can ask him.
Well, you don't have to ask about my account.
I'm honestly curious what he would say because I think it's just being. I don't want to say paranoid. That's a strong.
But what
word.
Are you paranoid about?
Right. I don't know.
I don't want the Bears to see this stretch line that we're doing. This stretch is pretty impressive.
Yeah,
is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, I don't get it. But again, I am telling you that from what I can gather, if they had it their way, nothing would be open ever. Because it doesn't
so
help
they
your
loved
team.
They loved COVID where there's nobody in the stands.
I'm sure that probably exacerbated that, frankly. This is really great. Nobody can watch any of this stuff. They just see us on game day. And no one has a clue that, you know, and look, in fairness to Matt LaFleur, there were things that Mike McCarthy didn't want on the street either. He got mad at Domofsky once for mentioning that Randall Cobb threw left-handed. To which I later said to Mike, he played quarterback at Kentucky.
But people forget.
He threw left-handed.
People forget.
That was
Why
his
are you
response.
Always trying to stir stuff up, Jason?
Yeah, who's thinking about what they did when they were scouting him for the draft? Okay, fair. But nevertheless, was a handoff throw from Randall Cobb going to be ruined because the defense knew that he threw left-handed? I don't think so. But again.
So just for the record, in season, I totally get it. I totally understand not doing it.
They kick us out very early.
I'm literally asking, it is June.
Yeah.
In May,
mm-hmm.
You're not doing anything of game plan specific of anything. It makes no sense. It's really dumb.
Yeah. We do not get to record portions or post video of portions of routes on air. So
maybe it's just the cell phone usage, and that's what they're spooked off by. Maybe that's what it
is. Maybe, because, again, they can't control I mean, they don't have fans handing in their phones when they go out there and this stuff gets onto social media. Nevertheless, I do want to get to what Matt LaFleur said about managing expectations. I even got a big Mike McCarthy reference into one of my questions to him. We'll get to that coming up. I don't know. Will it take more or less than another 10 minutes before we get to that topic? I don't think Prize Picks has that on its
they
board.
They don't, and I thought I had a winner last night. Hauser, Moore, 1.5, 3-3 balls, bing, bing, bing. Thought I was in good shape, and then my boy Gafford didn't get me the boards I was looking for. But I'll tell you what, it made watching that much more fun. And you know, hoops, hockey, Prize Picks has everything. And it is simple to play. Just pick more or less on projected stats. You can go two or more players. I like going with three. I only went two last night. I didn't turn $10 into $1,000, but you can if you just do that when you get four correct picks. You can choose from traditional stats like points or assists, or more unique ones like getting a dunk or some three balls. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance. That's what makes Prize Picks America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Join the Prize Picks community, download the Prize Picks app, and use that code WI. That's code WI on Prize Picks for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
We'll get to what Matt LaFleur had to say next. Maybe. It's Will Dean's House. I'm not afraid of getting old and I won't let it stay. Before we get sidetracked again, which has been known to happen once or twice on this program, let's get to what Matt LaFleur had to say yesterday about where this team is at and managing the expectation game. I'm curious, Tausch, if you will like these answers or not like these answers. So let's play them for you now. Here is my exchange with Matt LaFleur as we closed up the mini camp yesterday.
Hey, Matt, I get you're not in pads, but you still see a ton as a coach. I get that it's about production, not potential, but do you think you have a good feel for what kind of football team you have as you break the offseason program? And
I think we've laid a good foundation, and I think the guys, the things that, you know, we stress to these guys in terms of our communication, how close the connection can get, I think it's a good start, but it really doesn't matter once we come back to training camp. It's about what we do moving forward. And again, it's just the foundation. So, you know, I feel really good about the group in there, and hopefully that over the course of these 5 weeks, the challenge to these guys is you cannot come back the same player. You got to come back better. You got to come back in better shape, and you got to come back better mentally.
Do you think, you know, your predecessor made a comment once upon a time that said the biggest challenge would be handling success. You guys obviously had success in the second half of last season. Do you think it's different when you have a team that maybe came into the year without many expectations as opposed to what you guys did last year? People are going to expect you to be a good football team. Is there a different dynamic, especially with young guys?
I just think that you got to do your best to kind of ignore the outside noise and just get to work. And I think, you know, that's where the confidence is built. It's through the work and just going out there and competing together, coming close together. But my advice to those guys is you can't worry about what everybody expects from you. It's what we expect of each other.
So, Tausch, we've talked about expectations many times and how it colors how you view a player's career and also how you manage those as a team in a season where expectations are high. How do you view how they sound like they're handling the expected higher expectations of this season?
Yeah, all this stuff is nice, you know, all this, but it really is just going to come down to how your approach and what you end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always say the right thing. But do I think that this group's confidence is a lot higher than it was last year? Absolutely.
No
doubt. I think their expectations are much higher than what they were last year? Absolutely. And as you mentioned with Mike McCarthy, his predecessor, saying handling success, and it is hard because you'll have 30 guys and a bunch of them feel really good about what they put out on film last year and what their future might hold. Last year, I just saw gas prices went from $2.99 to $3.29 overnight.
Yeah.
Gas, yesterday's prices aren't today's. Yesterday's players aren't today's players. And what Matt's saying is today's players aren't going to be the same players in September. You need to be better because now you don't have the other teams looking at you like, I don't even know what these guys are going to be. The Packers are back to being the Packers, and teams look to beat the Green Bay Packers because they're one of the gold standard bearers of this league. So you best be at your best because you know you're going to get everybody's best shot. And if you don't have that mentality, you're going to fall short of the lofty goals that I believe they should have. And last year I felt like, you know, early on there was almost the acceptance of, Well, I don't know how good we're going to be.
Right. And you're right.
When you allow that into your locker room, what is the old saying goes? You'll get what you demand.
You get what you emphasize. You also get what you allow.
And that's not what it is either. It was something about demand. But the bottom line is expectations are important. Setting goals are important. And, you know, having the fortitude to push through and do that, you're going to be tested in ways that you weren't last year.
Mm-hmm.
How you respond to that. We don't know that yet, but we like the character and the youth and the enthusiasm that this group has. How is that going to shake out if you go down to Brazil and get your brakes beat in? How are you going to bounce back? Because last year, they did a fantastic job of kind of just hanging in. Mm-hmm. And then when things started clicking, boom, boom. How are you going to handle if you have a couple of injuries? All of those things are things, the unknowns, that make a season beautiful and fun, but also incredibly challenging.
So wait, you get what you emphasize, you also get what you tolerate. That was the word I was looking for.
Tolerate.
That's not what it was?
Yes, that was tolerate.
That was what you're looking for?
Yes.
Okay. Their jobs are to demand and teach. I still think that it's going to be interesting to see how young players who were able to play, I think, free. Tom Landry texted us.
Where's he from? I don't see it. You usually put down where they're from.
The Great Beyond.
Yes, from The Great Beyond. I looked it up and wanted to get that on the screen instead of interrupting you guys.
Is that Tom Landry's quote?
According to the internet.
Okay, well, that's fair enough.
So and it's according absolutely to a Cowboys true. Fan, too, so that's helpful.
Yeah, the GOAT.
He had a great hat. All right, so I am curious, Tausch, before we move on from this, because I want to get to Romeo Doubs, too, because I think maybe myself and certainly Jesse comparing him to Alan Lazard might be sleeping on him a little bit. But how do you expect young players who played, and it's a weird dynamic, right? Because part of them, they didn't know what the hell they were doing, right? And that's stressful in and of itself as a young player, is not really being sure of yourself. But there was also a freeness to them last year without those expectations. So if you were to guess how they will handle them now when there are expectations, Matt LaFleur can say until the cows come home, well, it's really about our expectations. And that's great and all, but they know. There's no way they don't know that outside expectations are high.
They know, and they should know.
Right.
I think there's going to be some chop. Like, this isn't going to be, there's nothing smooth about any NFL season. Like, there's going to be some chop. And the thing is, you want the reason you have mini camps and do all these team building things is because you want to be able to handle it. You want to be able to weather storms. And this team will get those, and they'll have those, and they'll probably lose a few games that we don't think they should. That's part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it just comes back to keep improving and giving yourself a chance around Thanksgiving to be right where you need to be, and that's when you're hoping your football team starts taking off like they did last year. And if that's the case, you're going to look at this season in a very positive way.
Among the many things, I was very busy today, or yesterday, as you know, very busy, guy. I always like to tell you how busy I am. But I did make time to finally see the social media product put out by you and Maddie from your Johnson & Sons paving experience. And I got to say, it was really, really, really good. Well done by both of you. And thanks again to Johnson & Sons paving. And I'm not just saying that because I need some driveway work.
Okay, summer is here. But before you know it, you'll be prepping for winter. And Johnson & Sons paving wants to make sure you're ready by remembering the 3 R's of parking lot and asphalt maintenance. Reseal every 2 to 3 years. Repair when you see signs of cracking or potholes. And replace if there's constant standing water, warping, bulking, or sinking. And again, now I know. You see that water, you have to make sure it's graded properly. You got to pave it and make sure that grade drains that water away from your buildings. And Johnson, I saw it firsthand. They do it. Connect with Johnson & Sons today to fix those minor repairs before they become huge headaches. Visit JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com right now to schedule an appointment.
Speaking of huge, the green machine that you were on,
it was more turquoise, huge. I thought. I thought it was
teal?
More, yeah, turquoise, tealish. Yeah, it was like a light aqua bluish, dolphin blue.
Also, speaking of huge, is your head huge?
That depends when we're
talking.
Well,
it looked like you had a little trouble getting the helmet on.
No, the helmet, I wasn't going to wear the hard hat, but then I thought I brought it. It's got Johnson & Sons paving on it. And
it's a good looking
as
helmet.
I was trying to figure out how to smoothly drive it, which took me a while, got a little herky-jerky, and all of a sudden the old hard hat, boop, and it fell onto the new asphalt over to the left, and old boy threw it back up to me, and I'm like, oh, I got to drive this thing back. That was probably the diciest moment of my Johnson & Sons paving work experience.
Why didn't you just take your hat off?
I thought because I wasn't going to wear it, and
question.
Then I had it, and up there, and then I thought, if I'm going to wear this, I should have just not worn
you
the hard
second
hat.
You were second-guessing yourself
helmet.
And got in your
no,
own head.
You know
you
what?
Put the
nobody
hat
else,
over the hat.
Nobody else. I don't want to put everybody's OSHA business on the street, so I'm going to end the conversation. I should have just went with the hard hat. You're right, Hunter.
I don't want to put everyone's OSHA business
I don't.
On this.
I don't know all the rules and regulations, so I'm just going to say I should have done what Hunter said. That would have been
other
right
than
play.
The fact that there's all kinds of video with you being the only one wearing a hard hat.
So are you calling out? I'm not. If you want to go down that road, you do it.
I don't know.
You're the one that wants to get a new driveway, so yeah, go ahead, do what
and
you
there's,
want.
And there's other guys that do have their helmets on per OSHA rules. I'm not going to get further into
still,
that.
I was so excited to do that paving part too. But I would have been by myself, and you're going up
that's
against
a terrible
buildings.
Idea.
I think
good
wisely
call.
Said. Yeah, it's probably not a good idea.
A very, very smart.
Otherwise,
by
my guess is the JSP crew would be out there today, probably fixing some things.
Fixing it, yes, exactly. Well, if you haven't seen it on social media, we will share it once again because it is worth your time. I'm glad I got to watch it, and thanks again to Johnson & Sons Paving for their great partnership and for getting old T out there on the paver, not the roller, not the roller, which I think was a decision that was smart by everyone. All right. Next, I do want to get to this sound clip from Matt LaFleur talking about Romeo Doubs. Have we been sleeping on him and what he means to this offense? We'll talk about it next. It's Will Dean Tausch. One more thing from Matt LaFleur yesterday that I want to get to before the 11 o'clock hour, and that is the exchange that he and I had about Romeo Doubs. Because, you know, we got after Jesse for his Sunday Karma hot take that Romeo Doubs is Alan Lazard, which we can all agree here was not a great take.
No, it was not.
And I have been comparing him to James Jones, which, again, I think James Jones is one of the more underrated wide receivers in Packers history.
Yeah,
he was extremely productive.
Yep.
So I don't think I've been poo-pooing Romeo Doubs. But even I might be underestimating with his connectivity with the quarterback, who he works out with in the offseason, and with some of these scenarios where he gets the football. Third down. He had a third down catch to keep their two-minute drive alive yesterday at the end of practice. Red zone. He led the Packers in red zone touchdowns with seven. Maybe he's a little closer to number one than number four than maybe we think. So I asked Matt LaFleur about it. Here was that exchange.
Matt, we asked a lot of questions about not necessarily having a clear-cut number one, but Jordan sure went to Romeo in the red zone a lot last year. He had a third down catch today in 2 minutes. That was pretty critical. Where do you see him in his development and his connection with your quarterback?
Yeah, I think Rome's had an outstanding spring. I really do. And it's evident by the work that he puts in on a daily basis. He's in there in the morning catching off the jugs. He's one of the last guys to leave the building. He's very deliberate about the work he puts in, and I think it showed. And he's... You know, we challenged him on a couple of things that we thought he could really do a better job with, and, you know, just continuing to stress the importance of opening up his stride. And, you know, he's embraced that. And I think you've seen that. And I think he's had a lot of great moments. As a matter of fact, I can't think of a bad day that he's had out there. You know, he is definitely improving.
I can't think of a bad day that he had out there throughout the offseason. Tausch, have we been guilty of undervaluing Romeo Doubs?
No doubt about it. I think we all just kind of saw last year, and Romeo Doubs was super consistent. He scored a bunch of tutters. And I think we all just look at the potential of, you're big on Wicks, so you're there.
Right.
Jaden Reed, I think, really emerged last year. I'm a Watson guy because of his speed. And it always seems like the guys that just continue to produce and keep their mouth shut and just work.
Reliable.
You kind of take them for granted. I think we're all guilty of that. And when you hear LaFleur talk, I mean, is it possible that Romeo Doubs is going to be your number one wideout? Yeah. And I don't think any of us thought that or think that or believe that's what's going to happen. And maybe we should, because he's there every day. He gave him these checklists of things to improve on. Sounds like he has. He's living, or he is out, and he's in Jordan Love's sphere, working with him, developing chemistry. Is it possible that we've all just completely kind of penciled him in as a number 2/3, and that's going to be nice, where he could end up being the number one guy? Absolutely.
We'll get to the 11 o'clock hour after Tausch tells us about how good those Coors Lights tasted after his shift with Johnson.
Oh, it was a warm day, and you know, you get done with a hard day of labor. What's better than cracking open a Coors Light brew with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know Coors Light's cold activated bottles and cans are chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
If you did not hear Brian Windhorst talking about Luka Doncic last night on SVP's SportsCenter, you will want to hear it. It's what prompted our conversation with Evan Cohen earlier in the program, and you will hear it to kick off the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes.